Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yesterday was Thanksgiving in the U.S. Most holidays on our calendar have a nationalist or political tone, such as Veterans Day or the President's Day. Some holidays have a distinctly communal tone, such as Christmas, which is rooted in Christianity. But Thanksgiving is different. It resonates equally with the religious and the secular. Thanksgiving resonates equally with conservatives and liberals alike, because giving thanks and gratitude has many positive outcomes for human social, emotional, and mental health. Let me quote from an article published by the Harvard Medical School on the importance and the positive outcomes of gratitude, which hopefully would set the stage for my talk today. Quote, gratitude is strongly and consistently associated with greater happiness. Gratitude helps people feel more positive emotions, relish good experiences, improve their health, deal with adversity, and build strong relationships. A lot of positive outcome comes out of gratitude, and what I just quoted you from the Harvard Medical School's journal is based on scientific research. Other psychology research also shows that people who express gratitude for each other tend to be more willing to forgive others. Forgiveness is a great virtue. Gratitude contributes to our ability to forgive. Now, Thanksgiving is also celebrated in our sacred scripture, the Quran, and I would like to cover this topic today, especially for the younger folks in the audience today. Hopefully this talk today will resonate with them and hopefully they will appreciate it. What is the true meaning of gratitude in the Quran? What forms does gratitude take? The Quranic term for thanksgiving is shukr. Shukr. Shukr and its related words appear in the Quran in about 75 verses. We don't have enough time today for me to go over all these 75 verses, but I will pick a few verses to describe the crux of Quran's teachings on shukr or gratitude. So let's begin. Shukr comes from the root word shakara in the Arabic language, and shakara means to be grateful, to give thanks, literally thanksgiving. It also means to realize or acknowledge one's favor. Shukr encompasses all these meanings. Shukr involves a realization and acknowledgement on our part for another person's favor, and giving thanks to that person. Shukr is typically rendered gratitude in English, which is a very suitable translation, by the way. And today, I will use shukr and gratitude interchangeably. So whenever I say shukr, I mean gratitude in the English language and vice versa. The Harvard Medical School has a good definition for gratitude, which astonishingly comes very close to what the Quran teaches on shukr. And I would like to share this definition with you, and pretty much I will dedicate the rest of the sermon to expanding on this definition. So here is the definition of the Harvard Medical School for gratitude. Gratitude is a thankful appreciation for what an individual receives whether tangible or intangible. With gratitude, people acknowledge the goodness in their lives. In the process, people usually recognize that the source of that goodness lies at least partially outside themselves. As a result, gratitude also helps people connect to something larger than themselves as individuals, whether to other people, nature, or a higher power. As you will see in my sermon today, what Quran teaches about shukr comes very close to this definition that the Harvard Medical School suggests. What is the opposite of shukr in the Quran? What does the Quran call those people who are not grateful? Quran کسانی رو که شکر گزار نعمتهای خداوند نیستند چه می نامد؟ Chapter 14 verse 7 answers this question. This verse is in the context of a conversation that Moses had with his people, the tribe of Israel, Bani Israel. In this conversation, Moses attempts to remind his people of God's promise to them. وَاِسْتَعَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ وَلَإِنْ كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ. Remember that God promised, if you are thankful, I will give you more. But if you are not, my punishment is terrible indeed. Did you see the contrast between shukr and kufr in this verse? As the Quran sees it, the opposite of shukr is kufr. The opposite of shukr is kufr. As you know, kufr is the word the Quran uses for those who have no faith in God or disbelievers. Amazing. The Quran uses exactly the same word to describe a person who denies the existence of God or denies the signs of God or the mission of the messengers of God, and uses exactly the same word to describe a person who is ungrateful. They are both kafir or disbeliever. Wow. Brothers and sisters, take what I just mentioned very seriously. در نگاه قرآن هم انکار خداوند کفر هست و هم ناشکری. هم انکار خداوند کفر هست و هم عدم سپاس از نعمتهای خداوند. کفر در لغت یعنی پوشیدن، مخفی کردن. وقتی کسی نعمتی رو فراموش میکنه، در حقیقت اون نعمت رو از ساحت آگاهی خودش مخفی میکنه، میپوشونه. به همین دلیل قرآن کریم واژه کفر رو هم برای انکار خداوند به کار میبره، هم انکار نعمتهای خداوند. The Quran informs that this vast universe in which we live, this vast universe and all its inhabitants are endowments from God. The Quran tells us that this universe and all its inhabitants are blessings from God. Let me give you a couple of examples from the Quran on this very teaching. Chapter 7, verse 10. وَلَقَدْ مَكَّنَّاكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَجَعَلْنَا لَكُمْ فِيهَا مَعَايِشَ قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ. We established you, the people, on the earth and provided you with a means of livelihood there. Little do you give thanks. chapter 28, verse 73. وَمِنْ رَحْمَتِهِ جَعَلَ لَكُمُ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارَ لِتَسْكُنُوا فِيهِ وَلِتَبْتَقُوا مِنْ فَضْلِهِ وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. Out of His mercy, God made for you night and day, that you may rest therein, and that you may seek of His bounty and be grateful. So God says, I created this universe and everything in it as ni'mat or endowment for all the creatures. For you human beings, I also created all sorts of endowments or ni'mat. وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ, and be grateful for those endowments and blessings. The Quran often complains that only few actually show gratitude for all the gifts and endowments they have received from God. Here is the question: does God really need our giving thanks? Does God really need our gratitude? Why is it that the Quran keeps reminding us that we should be thankful to God for all His blessings? Chapter 31, verse 12 answers this question, whether God needs our gratitude or not. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ لِهِكْمَةَ أَنِشْكُرْ لِلَّهِ وَمَنْ يَشْكُرْ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ لِنَفْسِهِ وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ. Very beautiful verse, very powerful verse in the Quran. In this verse, did you notice that shukr is said as opposed to kufr? وَمَنْ يَشْكُرْ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ لِنَفْسِهِ وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ. Indeed, we endowed Luqman with wisdom. What was that wisdom? We endowed Luqman with wisdom. Give thanks to God. And whoever gives thanks, he gives thanks for his own sake. And whoever is ungrateful, truly God is self-sufficient and praised. This verse is loaded with incredible insights. What was the wisdom that God endowed Luqman with? Anishkur lillah, give thanks to God. But when you give thanks to God, is it really for God's sake? No. The verse says, وَمَنْ يَشْكُرْ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ لِنَفْسِهِ. You give thanks for your own sake, not for God's sake. You will benefit from giving thanks, not God, because فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ. Truly God is self-sufficient, praised. God is self-sufficient. He created all these endowments. There is nothing we human beings and other creatures give back to God by way of gratitude that will add an iota to God's riches. So, if God does not need our shukr or gratitude, what does the Quran actually ask us to do when it says, give thanks to God for all His blessings? Very important question. If giving thanks to God is for our own sake, why does the Quran insist that we should give thanks to God, be grateful to God for His blessings? Abu Hamid Muhammad Ghazali, who is one of the most preeminent Muslim scholars of all time, has a good answer to this question. In his famous book, Ihya'i Ulumuddin, he says the following: if you spend God's gifts and blessings in a way that pleases him, in effect, you thank God. One more time. If you spend God's blessings and endowments in a way that pleases him, in effect, you are thanking God. Ghazali uses an analogy to explain his idea. He says, imagine that a king gives a horse to one of his servants. So whenever the king calls on the servant, she can quickly go to the king. Now, if one day the king calls on the servant and the servant gets on the horse, but rather than quickly going to see the king, she wanders around, takes her time, and goes on sightseeing, well, she has wasted the king's favor of giving her the horse. But if she gets on the horse and rushes to see the king, she has shown gratitude to the king for the horse. Through this analogy, Ghazali wants to say that gratitude to God involves putting the endowment and blessings to good use, a use that pleases God. Let me repeat one more time. What Ghazali attempts to convey to us is this. Gratitude to God involves putting God's endowment in a way that pleases him, which means put them into good use. The Quran actually confirms what Ghazali is telling us. Chapter 34, verse 13. اعملوا آل داوود شكرا وقليلا من عبادي الشكور. O family of David, work thankfully. Work thankfully, for few of my servants are truly thankful. Did you notice the verse didn't say قولوا, it says اعملوا. Show your gratitude in action, in practice, not in words. How you put a blessing, an endowment to use, speaks volumes on whether you are grateful or not. Let me say it in Farsi. ما از نعمتهای خداوند هم می توانیم استفاده های شاکرانه بکنیم و هم استفاده های کافرانه. رومی uses an analogy to illustrate this point. He uses the analogy of a book. What is the proper use for a book? Rumi says,
گرچه مقصود از کتابان فن بود گر تو اش بالش کنی هم می شود. لیک از او مقصود این بالش نبود، علم بود و دانش و ارشاد و سود.
Though the final object of a book is the knowledge it contains, yet if you make it a pillow to rest on, it can serve that purpose too. But the final object of a book is learning and knowledge and right guidance and profit, not to be a pillow. Do you remember those spring days when you were in college and you had a big lunch and you wanted to take a quick nap? What would you do? You would take your backpack full of books and you would make that backpack a pillow to sleep on. But the object of the backpack and the books in it was not to be a pillow. It was to gain knowledge. That's what Rumi is trying to teach us. Now, think of everything God has graciously endowed us. Our body organs, family, faith, safety and security, education, job. How can we show our gratitude to God for these blessings? Let me give you a couple of examples, so that we have a better understanding of what Ghazali and Rumi were trying to teach us. If I am blessed with good financial fortunes, but I use my wealth to show off or seek dominance over others, that is an ungrateful usage for wealth. But if I use my wealth on projects that help God's creation to help the needy, that is gratitude of wealth.
صدقه، انفاق و احسان شکر مال هست. میخواید شکر مال رو به جا بیارید، صدقه بدید، انفاق بکنید.
My tongue, what I'm using today in order to communicate with you, my tongue is an endowment, a blessing from God. If I use my tongue to insult, to lie, backbite, or cheat, that is an ungrateful usage for tongue. But if I use my tongue to tell the truth, to invite others to God, to inspire others to peace and justice, these acts constitute gratitude for the tongue.
تعلیم، ارشاد، نصیحت، اینها همگی شکر زبان هست. میخواید شکر داشتن زبان رو به جا بیارید، تعلیم دیگران بکنید، ارشاد به خیر و نیکی بکنید.
Our bodies, faculties, the opportunities we have in life for education and financial prosperity are all gifts from God. But they are not a free pass. On Judgment Day, we will be questioned. We will be asked, what did you do with your endowments? That's what the Quran teaches us. On the Day of Judgment, you will be asked, what did you do with all the blessings that God had bestowed on you? Chapter 102, verse 8. Short but very sweet. ثُمَّا لَتَسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. Then surely in the Day of Judgment, you will be questioned about your blessings. On the Day of Judgment, God will ask Hamid Intizam, I blessed you with good health, with sound rational faculty. I blessed you with the means to acquire knowledge, the means to have financial wealth. What did you do with my blessings? How did you use them? What do you have to show for them today? Let me articulate this point a little bit more. The Quran repeatedly singles out three endowments from God, three blessings from God to us, and asks that we should be very grateful for those three blessings. Chapter 23, verse 78.
وَهُوَ الَّذِي أَنْشَأَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ.
It is God who endowed you with hearing, sight, and hearts. How seldom you are grateful. Do you remember my last talk on the seen and the unseen, غیب و شهاده? Well, sight and hearing are the most critical for interacting with the seen, شهاده, which is the domain of science. And heart is the most important faculty for gaining insight into the unseen, or qayb. Together, sight, hearing, and heart are the most important tools for knowledge and spiritual consciousness. Ungrateful use of these faculties will result in ignorance and spiritual darkness. Again, the Quran warns us about Judgment Day. Chapter 17, verse 36. The Quran, again, refers to these three super important endowments and blessings of God to make a point about the Day of Judgment. إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَسَرَ وَالْفُؤَادِ كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْئُولًا. Truly, hearing, sight, and the heart, all of these will be called to account on the Day of Judgment. Each one of these valuable faculties individually will be called upon to testify and declare how we use them. Did Hamid use you gratefully? Oh, his eye, his ears, his heart? Did Hamid use you gratefully in a proper way? So, we need to be very careful how we use God's blessings and endowments in daily life. Remember what the Quran said in the verse that I started the sermon with. You remember? Chapter 14, verse 7. This is the verse I started with, and I would like to end this section of my sermon with. لَئِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ وَلَئِن كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ. If you are thankful, I will give you more. But if you are not grateful, my punishment is terrible indeed. What should we make of the phrase in this verse, إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ? My punishment is terrible indeed. Does God take this personally if we don't thank Him? Does God literally throw me in the fire pit if I am not grateful? Not really. God is merciful, not vengeful. God is gracious, not vindictive. His blessings are like assets given to us. If we put these assets to good use, if we use them in projects that are in line with God's pleasure, they will multiply. Just as if we invest our financial assets in good projects. But if we squander these assets through ungrateful use, we will lose. And that loss is our punishment. Our loss is the fire pit. إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ. My punishment is indeed terrible. This is how we feel inside when all of our financial assets evaporate in the stock market when the market crashes. That burning feeling inside, إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ. So, let me summarize this verse in the Quran in this beautiful Persian poetic verse. شكر نعمت نعمتت افزون کند. کفر نعمت از کفت بیرون کند. So far, I have talked about gratitude to God, what it means to be grateful to God, and what that exactly entails. I've been talking about offering gratitude to God, the Creator, the Sustainer, and the Provider. But what about gratitude to God's creation? In other words, the nature, the earth, the people around us who provide us with services and kindness. Does it make any sense to be grateful to them when in fact these service providers owe their very existence to God? If God has created this earth and all the bounties in this earth, does it really make sense for me to be grateful to Mother Earth? The short answer is yes. In fact, there is a famous verse in Islamic literature that states that very thing.
من لم یشکر المخلوق لم یشکر الخالق.
Whoever is not grateful to مخلوق, the created, cannot be grateful to خالق or the creator.
Whoever is not grateful to the created cannot be grateful to the creator.
مخلوق or the created includes nature and also human beings.
In مثنوی, Rumi tells the story of a generous host who threw a feast for a hungry guest.
In fact, in this story, Rumi reflects on this saying that I just mentioned, لم يشكر المخلوق لم يشكر الخالق.
So in this story, which essentially involves a generous host throwing a feast for a hungry guest, Rumi wants to say that the guest, the hungry guest, should still be thankful to the generous host, even though God is the provider, the true provider of that feast.
Here is the verses from Mathnavi.
شکر او شکر خدا باشد یقین.
شکر او شکر خدا باشد یقین. چون به احسان کرد توفیقش قرین.
ترک شکرش ترک شکر حق بود. حق او لا شک به حق ملحق بود.
شکر می کن مر خدا را در نعم. نیز می کن شکر و ذکر خواجه هم.
رحمت مادر اگرچه از خداست، خدمت او هم فریزست و سزاست.
زین سبب فرمود حق صلو علیه، که محمد بود محتالون علیه.
در قیامت بنده را گوید خدا، هین چه کردی آنچه دادم من تو را.
گوید ای رب شکر تو کردم به جان، چون ز تو بود اصل آن روزی و نان.
گویدش حق نه نکردی شکر من، چون نکردی شکر آن اکرام فن.
بر کریمی کرده ای ظلم و ستم، نه ز دست او رسیدت نعمتم.
Very beautiful. Gratitude to him, the benefactor. And the benefactor, remember, in the story, is the generous host who threw that feast for the hungry guest.
Gratitude to him, the benefactor, is certainly the same as gratitude to God, since it was God's favor that caused him to show beneficence.
To be grateful to him is to be grateful to God.
Beyond doubt, his right to gratitude is consequent on that of God.
Always give thanks to God for his bounties, and always give thanks and praise to your benefactor too.
Though a mother's tenderness is derived from God, yet this is a sacred duty and a worthy task to serve her.
For this reason, God has said, do ye bless him, the prophet, for Muhammad was one to whom the attributes of divine providence were transferred.
At the resurrection, God will say to his servant, what have you done with that which I bestowed on you?
لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ.
That's what the verse in the Quran told us.
At the resurrection, God will say to his servant, what have you done with that which I bestowed on you?
And the servant will reply,
O Lord, I gave thanks to you with all my soul, since the source of my daily provision and bread was in you.
Then God will say to him, nay, you did not give thanks to me, inasmuch as you didn't give thanks to him
who made a practice of generosity. You have done wrong and injustice to a generous man. Didn't my bounty come to you by his hand? Rumi makes a very provocative claim here. شکر او شکر خدا باشد یقین چون به احسان کرد توفیقش قرین ترک شکرش ترک شکر حق بود حق او لا شک به حق ملحق بود. رومی equates gratitude to people with gratitude to God. He puts gratitude to creation on a par with gratitude to the Creator. Why? Because creation, or the nature, the earth, and the people are the medium through which God's grace and blessings are delivered to us. When God wants to help a needy, He doesn't show up in person to do it. He inspires a human being who has the means to go and help that needy person. So, the delivery medium is part of the blessing package. The delivery vehicle, the medium, is part of the blessing package of God. We must be grateful to the medium and the vehicle as well, be it nature or other human beings. Additionally, when we show gratitude to others for being kind and generous, we encourage them to continue their generosity and good work. Our gratitude is positive reinforcement for their kindness. Our show of gratitude contributes to building a culture of generosity in our community. Remember, God expects us, the Muslims, to be promoters of kindness and goodness in life, to be promoters of kindness, and gratitude helps that cause. Gratitude promotes goodness and kindness. In closing, Thanksgiving, which we celebrated yesterday, is not just a national holiday that should be observed once a year. Rather, it should be a habit. A habit. The Quran teaches that shukr, or thanksgiving, is a virtue that we should nurture in our soul and character. We should cultivate a spirit of gratitude in our daily lives. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.